Hey, everybody, welcome in. As always, we have it going on for you on Tuesday Speak Up with me. My name is Barbara, and we are well into candidate country, and we're going to continue over the next several weeks bringing you the local county and state candidates. And we have extended conversations with our candidates, up close with them, and all in their own words. So today we're looking at Bonner County Assessor's position and talking with the three candidates on the May 17th primary ballot for you. Only one will be allowed to move forward, and you get to make that choice. Only one will move forward to the November election, and you get to make that choice. We have in the studio with us today incumbent Donna Gao, challenger Jesse Webster, and challenger Grant Dorman. So keep it right here. This is the best venue to hear and really get to know our candidates. We'll be right back.
April rain's not a bad thing, especially if it's raining cash. The Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry is making it rain cash every day this month with our big super progressive jackpot, midweek hot spins, and weekend daily double hot spins. That's more chances to win and win big. Midweek room rates are just $79 for a Kootenai Lodge room and $99 for a Riverview room. And we'll throw in breakfast for two. And April is Pasta Month in the Springs Restaurant, where we're offering four delicious pasta dishes for just $12 each. Choose from lobster ravioli, penne primavera, steak bistecca, or chicken angelina. Hey, it rains a lot in April, so come to the Kootenai Casino, where it's raining money all month long. More games, more specials, and more chances to win big. To book your April money shower getaway, call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
It's here. It's now. The Grand National RV Show. R&R RV North Spokane is hosting the Grand National RV Show for 12 days only, March 21st through April 2nd. Shop over 120 RVs inside the West Coast's largest indoor showroom. Free parking, free admission. The time to buy is now. Montana, Cougar, Rockwood, Forest River, Winnebago, and more. Come see Van World, the region's largest selection of camper vans, all inside the West Coast's largest indoor showroom. Room 12 days only, March 21st through April 2nd at R&R RV North Spokane. Beat the summer rush and buy now. Motorhomes, camper vans, fifth wheels, travel trailers, toy haulers, and truck campers, all indoors. The Grand National RV Show North Spokane. Free parking, free admission. March 21st through April 2nd, indoors at R&R RV North Spokane, 525 East Francis. Visit rnrrv.com for more info.
The fighting spirit of the Marine Corps is born of battles won. Battles won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's a promise made to you for more than two centuries. A promise of the Marines.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Say hello to our candidates for County Assessor in Bonner County, Donna Gao, Jesse Webster, Grant Dorman. Welcome to you guys. Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you, Barbara. Thanks.
All right, let's begin with you introducing yourselves to the listening audience. And Donna, we're going to start with you.
Thank you, Barbara. My name is Donna Gao. I am running for Bonner County Assessor. This will be for my second term. My family moved to the North Idaho area in 1980. We are a family of civil servants. My husband was the director of Sundance Drug Task Force before he retired. My youngest son is a captain with Selkirk Fire, and my oldest son is a command chief for OSI in the Air Force, and he has earned 2 Bronze Stars for his service in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I have a little basketball team of 5 grandsons. I am a certified assessor. I have been with the assessor's office for 30 years, and I have over 500 hours of appraisal education, so that's no on-the-job training. I just want to go over some of the changes we have made in the last 3 years. We have updated the webpage for better understanding, increased and improved training, hired a forester for more equitable assessments, updated our policies and procedures, created the notice of inspection letters for our revaluation areas, improved safety for appraisers in the field, implemented e-notices for assessments for those that choose to get their assessments online. In the Ponderay DMV, we implemented take a ticket so customers could sit while holding their place in line. And in Priest River, we implemented pagers so customers don't have to stand in line in the weather.
All right, very good. Donna, thank you for that information. Let's get to know Jesse Webster a little bit better.
Well, thank you, Barbara. My name is Jesse Webster, and I'm running for Bonner County Assessor. I grew up in Bonner County. I attended Boise State University, where I earned a bachelor's degree in English and a minor in secondary education. I am a member currently of the Community Resource and Vision Center. I'm on the board of directors of that board, which is incredibly near and dear to my heart. Right now, obviously, the hot button issue is, the price of homes and homelessness, and so that's constantly a discussion amongst our group. I have 2 daughters, Bailey and her husband, Caden Oliver. They live in Sagal and are expecting their first child. I'm going to be a grandmother for the first time. Very excited about that. And my daughter, Evelyn, she goes to San Diego State University. She's a junior, and she is currently studying abroad in Italy, so she's having a great time with that. I currently work for the Bonner County Board of Commissioners. I've been in that office for almost 7 years. So I've gone through, well, if you want to get technical, 2.5 boards, I'm going to call it. So I run that office. I'm the operations manager. I'm also the public information officer for Bonner County, and I'm also a deputy clerk, which puts 25% of me under the county clerk and 75% of me under the Board of County Commissioners. I am running for assessor because I just think there's some issues that need to be addressed. I'd like to improve customer service. We need to, make sure that our staff is following the statutory SOPs for the processes in that office. We need to improve technology. We need to improve our exemptions. Our exemptions and the qualifications and basically audit the exemptions currently in place.
Okay, we'll have an opportunity to get into those details as we move on. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for that, Jesse Webster. And Grant Dorman, introduce yourself, please.
Hi, Barbara. My name is Grant Dorman. I'm running for Bonner County Assessor also. I grew up in a conservative Christian family. My mother was a school teacher. My father was a builder. So I grew up around construction. In fact, after high school, I worked for a couple of years in construction before I joined the Navy, where I served as an air traffic controller. Following that, I went to pursue a degree in civil engineering, ended up graduating with a land surveying degree, and wound up eventually starting my own business, where I worked primarily in the residential commercial real estate industry until 2008, when everything fell apart. And then a couple of years later, went back, got my master's in business administration to widen my business experience, and took my business more in a different direction with public utilities, timber, transportation industries. So fast forward to 2020, I sold that business and stayed on for another year. And now I have a little bit more time. I'm married for 28 years. My wife and I got married when I was in college, and she helped work to put me through college. And then we have 4 children. My oldest is a senior at Hillsdale College in Michigan. My second born, my first son, is a in the Navy. He's an air crewman in Jacksonville, Florida, and I have two children still here in Sandpoint. One's working in the construction industry, and one is finishing up high school. So.
All right. And a new grandchild. We got grandchildren sitting here.
That's right.
Grandparents sitting at the table. All right. I'm going to start this question with you, Jesse. I know we've got lots of issues that we want to talk about, but I'm going to ask you what you think the top issue for you is for the assessor's office. What, either kudos or concerns?
The top of my list is definitely commercial assessments. I feel we have a disproportionate comparison to residential assessments. They're awfully low, and there's a whole lot of adjustments on there, the commercial assessments, that I'm not 100% convinced should be there.
Say that again.
There's what I'm assuming are manual adjustments in these. So when you enter them into the system, you have to actually change them manually.
These would be manual adjustments downward is what I'm hearing.
Adjustments in the assessments. Mm-hmm.
Is there a percentage that you have where residential properties have increased a percentage of the assessments or property tax burden, and commercials are downward, like trending?
I wouldn't use the word trending. In fact, I think that's probably one of the issues that we have, is that, you know, we hear constantly that there's just not enough commercial sales to comp, you know, these assessments to, or compare these assessments to. But, you know, I haven't seen much of a movement on some of the ones that I've been watching for the last 5 years. So,
all right. Thank you for that. Grant, you can comment on that, or what's your top issue?
Okay. Well, my only comment on the commercial is that it's typically not done with market sales comparison. It's typically done with an income approach. That's typically the way you would appraise commercial real estate. But my top issue that I've most recently come across is how many cases are taken to the board, the Board of Tax Appeals in the state. Right now, Bonner County represents 46% of all hearings at the state. Out of 44 counties, we represent almost half of those residential appeals. To me, that's a big challenge. Compare that to Kootenai County. Over the last 3 years, has had 4 appeals. Boundary has had 1. We've had 28 of our residential appeals in the last 3 years. By comparison, it's staggering how much farther.
And to what do you attribute that?
I attribute that when I read through the findings of those cases, that the valuation models that's currently going on in the assessor's office is completely out of date. I mean, those aren't my opinions. Those were the opinions of the state tax, the Board of Tax Appeals. That was their observation and their findings of those appeals.
Okay, very good. And Donna, what is, in your opinion, the number one issue that you have in the assessor's office?
The number one issue I think we have is that to continue with our training and continue with our CAMA systems, updating those, making sure that we get rid of some of the old programs that aren't working well or don't work with other programs.
Okay, Grant, I'm going to start this one with you. I'm going to go back. We're going to come back to some of these issues, but I want to get the audience to understand what, in your opinion, qualifies you for this position. I mean, what is it? I mean, the education we've talked about and your background experience, but what really qualifies you to run the assessor's office, to be that manager, and to do the things that you want to do?
Well, the primary job of the assessor is to assess the market value of the properties in Bonner County. And I understand commercial construction. I understand residential construction. I've worked in that industry my whole entire career. I've ran my own business for 20 years, where I've managed field crews, office staff, as surveying crews going out to the field, collecting data, coming back, resolving that. That's very similar to the day-to-day functions of the assessor's office. There's the ability to look at data, understand data, you know, resolve that data into meaningful information to make decisions with. So there's the leadership of running an organization. We had as many as 30 different people in my company. and also just the technical and administrative experience. And having that, bringing that private industry, that private understanding when you're in a competitive market, what you have to do to make a make an organization run in an efficient manner and be able to meet the needs of the customer. If you don't do that as a private organization, you're out of business.
All right. Thank you. Donna, I know with all of your years of experience, what would you say, what are your qualifications to run this office?
Basically, I am a certified appraiser, so I do know appraising. I've had over 500 hours of appraisal education. I have worked under five different assessors. They have different management styles. Some of them were certified and some of them were not. And based on the experience, I can tell that it does make a difference if the assessor is certified. I know how to appraise all different properties, so if someone asks me a question regarding a different property, I know how to answer that question.
All right, thank you. And Jesse, the same question to you. What are the unique qualifications? What is it that you're offering our listeners today and say, I want to be your assessor?
So the assessor is really an executive function. That's the way that I look at it. So what makes me uniquely qualified is that I've been with the county for 7 years. Our office works hand in hand with the assessor's office with Board of Equalization hearings. We work hand in hand with tax cancellations. I've worked with Cheryl Peel, our current treasurer, on many, many, many exemption issues and other tax-based issues to solve some problems. I am also very familiar with the rest of the departments and the players. I know how, land records functions within GIS. I know how the assessor's office and the treasurer's office work together. There's just many, many components that, of collaboration that I'm very familiar with. And I've been the manager of the commissioner's office. I've been in there for almost 7 years now, and I have a legal assistant, I have an executive assistant, I have managerial skills as well. So,
my next question, Donna, I'll start with you again. I know that assessors, you follow the law, you follow what the legislature of Idaho gives you to do, what your parameters are. But, there are organizations that lobby our legislature for certain things. What is it that you as assessor would want to lobby our legislature for?
Currently, one thing I would like to lobby the legislature regarding is the homeowner's exemption. Last year, they changed the date that you could apply for your homeowner's exemption. Previously, you had to apply by April 15th to get the exemption. Now, it's if you buy a house that does not have a homeowner's exemption on it, you can apply and it is retroactive to the first of the year. That has cost all the taxing districts a great deal of money. The legislature has not been taxing district friendly for the last couple years. I would like to lobby really hard to come back to reality.
So you want them to change the parameters around homeowners exemptions, the dates for qualifying,
right,
and for applying.
Right. I think that it's not right that because it affects all of the taxing districts when they take that money away from us.
Jesse, what about you? If you were a lobbyist in Boise, what do you want to lobby for on behalf of the assessor's office?
Well, I was just chuckling because when you asked that question and Donna answered it, we all three shook our heads in unison. I'm right there with her. So working in the commissioner's office, I get a front-hand view of how much value we have actually had to cancel because of these homeowners exemptions and because of the dates. And if you think about it, once a budget is set for most of these taxing districts in August, just as well as the county, some of these taxing districts are fairly small. Mm-hmm. And even if they lose $1,000, that's a lot of money to them. I mean, that could be the difference between a piece of life-saving equipment or, a part-time staff. So it's really important that these budgets, taxing districts to the county, that they're able to remain whole. And I do believe that this decision to change the state was not well thought out, not well planned for.
Okay. Grant, what about you?
It's funny. Yeah, I agree that the homeowner's exemption, but my take on it is a little different in that up until, I think it was a year or two ago, the homeowner's exemption was $100,000, and they recently raised that to $125,000. That may work in certain parts of Idaho, but in Bonner County, that nowhere comes near. You can't even come close to touching a home for any, for that price. So I think that if I could lobby anything, that $125,000 ought to vary based on some sort of median household price of a county. I mean, if you're in, you know, Caribou County in Southeast Idaho, it's a, you know, by orders of magnitude, practically the price differences. But it's the same $125,000 exemption no matter where you go in Idaho. So I would say that number should vary based on county to county, not just be a fixed number.
That would be very interesting that it could change from county to county. I think there's some kind of an equal something under the law that might get in the way of that, but maybe not if it's just numerical. You took, that was actually my, I didn't know if any of you would go for higher tax exemptions lobby, but that was my next question as a taxpayer. I think higher property tax exemptions would be a good thing for me.
Well, and to clarify that, 125 is the cap, so it does vary.
Yeah.
It's up to 125.
So. Yes.
And I'm sure. Maybe the devil's advocate here, but anytime you create or increase an exemption, it creates tax shift. Mm-hmm. So the biggest problem is if we keep increasing this homeowner exemption, that shifts the taxes to all the rental property. And it is tough enough right now for people to try and find affordable rents.
All right. Thank you for all those answers. We're up against a break. We're going to take it right now, but we will be back with our candidates after this.
We can argue about the melty half slice of cheese or the creamy tartar sauce, but no one can argue that a Filet-O-Fish could exist without the smooth, perfectly steamed buns that hold it together. Well, no one we want to know, anyways.
Enjoy a Filet-O-Fish with the buy one, get one for a dollar menu and get a McDouble or any of your favorites for just a buck. For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
We begin today's meditation with a few sipping exercises to remind us a little treat can go a long way. So pick up your McCafe iced coffees, close your eyes, and deep sip in. And deep satisfaction out.
Take a treat retreat at McDonald's. A medium McCafe iced coffee in any flavor is just $2. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
It's time to get out and play with a Kawasaki KLX motorcycle. Whether you go off-road, dual sport, or supermoto, every bike in the KLX lineup delivers thrills to new and experienced riders alike. For a wide range of terrain, trail, or street, there's a perfect bike. The world's a playground on a KLX motorcycle. Kawasaki KLX. Get out and play. Come see Sandpoint Marine and Motorsports, North Idaho's full-line Kawasaki dealer, or visit sandpointmarineandmotorsports.com.
It's winter. Let's face it, we all need wine. The Pondere Winery is here for you. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 12 to 8, and offer not only world-class wines made right here in Sandpoint, but also a menu of original and mouth-watering cuisine created at our tasting room located at 301 Cedar in downtown Sandpoint. Are you a wine club member? March marks the first club shipment of the year, and don't forget to reserve your library selections, only available to our wine club members. It's still winter. We can get through this together at the Pondere Winery.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer, maybe yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated and it can last a lifetime. Living with a condition can sometimes be a challenge. It may take years to accept a formal diagnosis, and it's not always easy to find the right treatment plan. Did you know that up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental health condition that also requires a comprehensive approach to treatment? ADHD guidelines were recently updated to reflect the need to screen for associated disorders. Be sure to talk with your child's doctor about proper screening and visit moretoadhd.com for additional information. That's moretoadhd.com. This message has been brought to you in partnership with ADA, ACO, and CHAD.
See our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere, all at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey everybody, I hope you are enjoying the program because I am very much so. We have the assessor's candidates here with us today. There are three Republicans and they are competing for the assessor's position here in Bonner County, and only one is going to get to move forward. And guess who gets to make that decision? You guys do. So register and vote. We're talking with incumbent Donna Gao, challenger Jesse Webster, and challenger Grant Dorman. And I feel that I want to also add, since you're all Republicans, that it's Grant that got the nod of endorsement from the GOP Central Committee. I think they can only endorse one, so it had to be one of the three, and Grant was the recipient of that endorsement. I have told you already that I read briefly through some of the questionnaire, an extensive questionnaire that all three of you filled out and answered from the GOP group. And so, Donna, I'll start with you. The first question asked, to what percentage do you agree with the GOP platform in Idaho? And then if you disagreed with any part of it. And actually, you didn't answer the question at all. You just said, I have made many positive changes in the assessor's office. So I didn't know why you didn't answer it or what is it about the GOP platform. So would you speak to that?
I don't recall anything specific. Basics, I do agree with the GOP platform. I think that there were a few issues on the platform stating about budgeting and things that it's like, budgeting is very difficult because you're predicting into the future. That's like, a year ago, gas prices were a lot cheaper than they are now. So it's, when they said it needs to be a certain amount, you have to predict, and there's some things that are not predictable.
Yeah, that's the issue with budgeting for sure. All right, Jesse, one of the questions, and again, ladies and gentlemen, all of these candidates answered the same questions, but this is the one that jumped out at me for Jesse. The question was, would you be willing to come to the GOP committee once a quarter and update them on the assessor's office? And I couldn't tell that you said yes or no. What you said was you valued all different kinds of communication and social media and one-on-one, and I didn't write them all down, but you didn't actually say that you would go and update them every quarter. So I didn't know whether you forgot to answer it or whether you actually don't want to go tell them about the assessor's office.
No, I think I actually just got really excited about that question because that's kind of my passion and my wheelhouse, is that I really feel like public reach, particularly in this office, it's an office where people don't know a lot about it. To answer your questions, first of all, I would gladly go to the GOP meeting and update them quarterly or monthly or whatever they would like, whatever they request of me. But I did get really excited about that question because I just feel like there's not a lot. I've had a couple text messages. What is the assessor's office? Mm-hmm. What do they do? And that's kind of something that I'm very excited to implement. Should I be selected? Is just a brand new approach to public outreach.
Yeah, it interested me because I'm trying to think, apart from when there are candidates in candidate forums, if like the assessor is ever in a public forum updating the community. And of course there is an audience at these committee meetings. So essentially you're not just updating the committee, you're updating the audience. So I found that very interesting. Grant, everyone was asked how they wanted to improve, asked about measurement of effectiveness as the assessor. And you were the only one that had actual numbers tied to how you want to track what you do. And so my question is, why are these numbers important to you? One was the turnover in staff number, And the other one, well, you've already mentioned it, the number of appeals that we have here compared to the rest of the state. So why those two?
Well, if you don't have some sort of measurable metric to measure success, it just starts to become, you know, somewhat of a challenge to know if you're actually moving in the right direction or not. So I know the assessor's office has struggled with turnover. This has been a challenge, and it's, you know, it, like Donna acknowledged, it's important to have the qualifications to be able to go out and do appraisals. So we need to retain folks to be able to have that institutional knowledge. And if they leave the department to go to perhaps another department because they get priority when another department opens a position, or if they take a position, you know, in the private sector, that creates a vacuum and a loss of institutional knowledge in that office. So we need to figure out a way to actually maintain that. The other part goes back to what one of my biggest concerns was the appeals. If the appeals are going through the Board of Equalization all the way to the state, something's not being done in-house to get our own house in order. If we're having to take our issues all the way to Boise at, you know, to the level we are, far outstripping any other county in the state, we got to figure out that out. So in terms of metrics, I'd like to see over the next 4 years in this term is to decrease that number consistently year on year.
Okay, very good. Well, okay, so concerns, issues, agreements, disagreements. Jesse, let's take it to you. Is there an issue that you're concerned about with the assessor's office or the duties or anything really that we have not addressed yet that's important to you?
You know, I think one of the main things that is important to me is the tax exemptions, particularly forestry and ag. We hired a forester last year. Donna can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but he has been plugging away at auditing. I hate to use the word audit. This is such an awful sounding word, but what he's been doing is actually, you know, going out and I'll just kind of explain briefly. The forestry and the ag exemption are both state offered exemptions, and they just kind of flow through the assessor's office. And what the person or what the applicant needs to do is they have to fill out an application and then they're checked to make sure they qualify. And then, you know, should they qualify for ag or forest, they have to, for forest, you have to create a forestry plan. Then they get this nice exemption, which, you know, that's not an exemption that's offered to everybody in Bonner County. So in my opinion, those really need to be kept in check because that, again, creates a tax shift. When you give an exemption, it creates a tax shift. So
are you saying that you are aware of unfairness, or you are aware that it needs to be looked at because there could be something?
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word unfairness, and I don't think that there's, you know, anything, you know, hokey going on there. What I do think is that there are people that are not, they're required to manage they're required to adhere by their timber plans.
All right.
And I do feel like there are people out there that are not adhering to those plans. And they are trying to currently remedy that, but there's just so many of them. I don't know when that could, you know, be completed.
All right. Same question to you, Grant. Anything that we haven't talked about yet that really concerns you or that you're in just really, you know, super agreement with in the assessor's office?
One of the other things that concerns me, in Idaho, most counties have their mapping department as part of the assessor's office. That's something that most counties do because that's one of the roles of the assessor is to maintain the plat books. In Bonner County, we have a GIS department that's managed under the commissioners. In fact, the ladies that do the platting and the mapping reside in the GIS department, don't reside in the the assessor's office. So one of my concerns that I would like to see is have that platting function brought back into the assessor's office. And me being a land surveyor, I feel like my qualifications in that regard would be more than adequate to be able to supervise that role and not have it outsourced.
And that would be something the county commissioners would have to address and change? Is that at the county commissioner level?
For the GIS department, yes. But for the platting function itself, as a subpart of that GIS, that is definitely the assessor's responsibility. That the state statute says that that's the responsibility of the assessor, and presently that's being done in the GIS department.
All right, excellent. Donna, you can comment on that if you want to, or give us your concern.
I would like to comment on that, and that it was recommended by a consultant that in order to not create duplications that our planning department be moved into with our GIS department. The GIS director is sworn in with the assessor's office, so he is under the commissioners, but under the planning and mapping, he is under the assessor's office, the direction. And we have a lot of communication between GIS and the assessor's office.
Thank you for that. Jesse, you had a quick comment.
Oh, I just wanted to kind of, you know, add to that, that we, and in the commissioner's office, once again, I work in the commissioner's office, mm-hmm. we don't have any say over land records as a function of GIS. That's solely the assessor's office.
All right, we are up against another commercial break. We got to do a little business. Keep us on the air here. So stay right where you are. We have more coming your way.
It's tax time again, and keeping up with the ever-changing tax laws can be a chore. Rhodes Tax Service in Bonner's Ferry has provided professional tax service for 35 years. Rhodes Tax Service gives you one-on-one service for individual and business tax preparation and will help you understand what's going on with your taxes and what changes must be made this year. If you need the help of an experienced tax professional, Rhodes Tax Service is here to help. They provide electronic filing with direct deposit. Call Rhodes Tax Service today at 208-267-1040 or 888-788-1040. You can also stop by their office on Highway 95, one block from Super One Foods in Bonner's Ferry. Rhodes Tax Service also offers a website for payroll at w4payroll.com. Have a great year and hope to see you soon. Rhodes Tax Service.
Over the past year and a half, business has been anything but usual. Whether you're a small, family-run business, a corporation, you need a trusted financial partner to guide you along the way. At WaFd Bank, they've been helping local businesses succeed for over 100 years.
That's right. We've been around long enough to know one size doesn't fit all, which is why our business checking solution comes in three options. There's Simple Business Checking, a straightforward, easy-to-manage account for business. Also, Business Interest Checking, allowing business owners to earn money on their deposits. And finally, Business Analyze Checking, which uses account balances to offset fees.
All of WaFd Bank's business checking solutions cost just $100 to open and come with online banking and bill pay, mobile photo deposit, and can be paired with treasury management services like electronic ACH payments and credit card processing and payroll services.
Visit wafedbank.com or stop by the branch to see which account is right for your business. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's a beautiful time of year to visit the historic city of Stateline, the gateway to North Idaho's winter wonderland. Take advantage of the low, low Idaho prices on gas and tobacco products at A1 Smoke Shop, Amerimart, Liberty Stop and Go, and Lou's Smoke Shop. There's great food available at Smoke and Mike's, Blue Taco, and Cooper's Express. The nightlife is always exciting at the Settle Shore Inn, El Patio, Little Italy, Cruisers, Nashville North, Contiki, and Stateline Showgirls. Take it to the line, Stateline, Idaho.
The fighting spirit of the Marine Corps is born of battles won. Battles won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's a promise made to you for more than two centuries. A promise of the Marines.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. We are talking with Bonner County Assessor candidates Donna Gao. She's the incumbent. Jesse Webster, she's a challenger. Grant Dorman, he's challenging. They are all vying for the same position. You get to make the decision May 17th. That's the primary coming up. I hope you're registered, and I hope you're planning to vote. There are all kinds of different ways to vote. You can vote absentee, you can vote early, and you can vote the old-fashioned way on Election Day. What fun. It's fun to vote on Election Day. So however you do it, I hope that you do vote and that you are definitely a registered voter in Idaho. All right. It may surprise you folks to know, it didn't totally surprise me, but I hadn't thought about it, The assessor's office is also in charge of the DMV. And so we probably could have spent more time on the DMV. But I guess I want to ask what improvements you see as candidates for this office that you want to make on the DMV. What do you want to make better and make our experience better at the DMV? So who wants to go first? I want to see a show of hands. Nobody's raising their hands. Grant.
Well, the DMV, as a lot of folks know, is actually, it's the assessor is really the agent or the vendor for Idaho Department of Transportation. They don't have local offices. That's probably by design. They're trying to create some duplication. But they are in the process, the long process of transitioning to where they're going to manage that program. They're already doing that by issuing license plates out of Boise and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to go towards an online, getting folks to register online and whatnot. And I think that's going to receive a lot of pushback from a lot of folks, you know, retired folks that don't necessarily want to do that. So one of the things that I'd like to see, and we'll have to see how this works out in practicality, and that is perhaps developing, you see it at TSA, you see it at Home Depot, is perhaps having some kiosk with an assistant helping folks know how to navigate the web portal. That could, you know, help with some of the manpower, while at the same time also helping folks learn how to navigate the website so that when the state does in fact finish the migration or transition to this program, folks are more prepared to be able to handle that.
That is very helpful. You know, the first time we all went through an airport where it was electronic, this and that, they had people walking around because there were people that were going to miss their flight because they couldn't figure out what they were doing. And so I think that's a good idea. So DMV, Jesse, what do you think needs to happen there to be better?
Well, as always, I think that everything starts in the trenches with the staff. I think that we need to really focus on meeting with the girls that actually are the ladies and the gentlemen that actually do the job. I think that's a start. Let's see what's still going on as far as the new software implementation, the issues they're having there, the issue they're having with wait times. You know, really figure out through them what the issues are. I think that there's a bit of a fear there, maybe starting to build up. I know if I was in their position, because, you know, of this talk of decentralization, honestly, you know, if our DMVs go away, you know, there'll be probably a DMV and maybe Post Falls. So, you know, we first have our staff to think about. Of course, I'm concerned with citizens, but we do have a very full staff. We have a lot of, you know, very, very wonderful people that work for the DMV. So we need to think about them. We need to think about the future. I know come October, our funding is going to be decreased, you know, substantially. And I'm not sure what that's going to look like. You know, and whenever funding gets decreased, I just really, nothing good happens, right? I mean, so we can't sustain what we're currently doing operationally if the funding isn't there. So there's a lot to take in, a lot to think about.
Unless there's something being taken away would be the decrease.
Right.
Just a thought.
They will be taking back some functions. So that means that we will not be receiving those funds from those online functions.
Exactly. Donna, what is your take on the DMV? And I guess I'm talking about both the Bonner Mall facility, but also the one over at the sheriff's office. Where we get, you know, you get, if you come,
we don't,
that's not a part of the same
no.
thing. You know, I didn't think it was, but I'm so glad I asked that because I'll bet there's 1,000 people out there that think the same thing. Anyway,
true.
So we're talking about only the Bonner Mall.
Yeah. Venue. We do have an office in Priest River also.
In Priest River, right.
And it's distinguished between motor vehicles registration and driver's license. Driver's right. license is under the sheriff's yeah. purview.
Yeah.
But we have done a lot of studying with our DMV. We did some job shadowing in the Pondere office. We have looked at Kootenai County and Latah County and see how their operation is. One of the biggest problems is they've already taken over all of our online. So all of the online is done through the state. So far until October 1st, we are still getting funds from that, but starting October 1st, they're going to not give us the funds for that anymore. So, sorry, your kiosk doesn't work well.
So how would we transition folks to be able to do this online ultimately when this whole program is complete?
Well, they do have the choice to come into the office and go over to the counter. They just can't do it online through here because we will not get any funding for that. Next year, they are going to take away our mail-in funds. And they have taken that over also. In fact, when you get your renewal, it'll have the Boise address on the return envelope.
You know, just a thought that this might be something that, you know, those lobbyists I was talking about in Boise to help do what you guys need to do for us, not what the state is saying, we're going to do this, we're going to take this away, you're not going to do this anymore, it's all going to, you know, that's just my quick thought. We are, we're at the point of the program now, ladies and gentlemen, where I'm going to ask these candidates to talk to you directly, to say goodbye to you, to give you their cell phone number or their web page, and to ask for your votes. So, Donna, we're going to go in the same order we went before. I'm going to start with you and ask you to say adios to the audience.
Thank you, Barbara, for having us. Again, my name is Donna Gao. I am the current Bonner County Assessor. We have made great strides in our office regarding positive changes. We will continue to make strides. Like I said, that we are working currently on a new program that will get rid of our AS400 system. That's the way that the assessor's office and the treasurer's office talk to each other. But it is so antiquated that it's hard to get people to work on that. We would like to continue to make positive changes, and I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
All right. Excellent. That's Donna Gao, the incumbent. Jesse Webster?
Well, I just want to say thank you to Grant and Donna. We seem to always have a pretty good time when we get together. I don't know. And thank you, Barbara, for having us all on here. I'm just really excited to be running, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to potentially implement some changes that I'd like to see, and that includes, you know, entering into the technological era. We have some pretty dated software in the county and the state, and it'll be nice to assist our appraisers and assist our whole office with some changes there. Anyway, my name is Jesse Webster. I'm running for Bonner County Assessor, and I would appreciate your vote on May 17th.
Thank you. Grant Dorman.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I really appreciate the opportunity to come and share also, and thanks, Barbara, for having us on the show. I guess I'd like to say in closing that I really want to bring the same message I've been bringing to my clients for 20, 25 years, and that is that I'm going to bring the idea of standing up for property rights for folks, you know, respecting their privacy, respecting their property rights, and really just respecting each person, because when folks aren't able to know how to advocate for their property rights, they really... People lose their property rights. So I just want to help people be able to do that. And there's a lot of ways I can do that by way of the experience that I have running a private enterprise. So on May 17th, I look for your vote for Grant Dorman for Bonner County Assessor.
All right. Thank you. That's it for today. Thank you to the candidates, Grant Dorman, Donna Gao, Jesse Webster. All the best to each of you. Next week, we have five candidates running for the county commissioner seat, District 3. They have given me graciously here at the radio station 2 days to cover these five. So I will be with you Monday, April the 4th, and I'll be with you Tuesday, April the 5th. And we will be talking to these five candidates, two on Monday, three on Tuesday. You can get to know them, and you can make up your mind how you want to vote. So until then, this is Barbara Carpenter saying thank you, take care, and God bless you.
K246CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, a Blue Sky Broadcasting radio station.